You're listening to Radio Influence.
This is Landry Football on Radio Influence, the only podcast where you can get perspective of what happened on the gridiron through the eyes of a coach, scout, and front office administrator. Now, it's time to step into the film room. Here's Chris Landry.
Welcome in, everybody, to this Tuesday, May 15th edition of the Chris Landry Podcast. Hope you had a great weekend and hope you're enjoying the spring as lots still going on in football. I know it has slowed down a little bit with spring practices over, the draft over, but there's stuff going on, and certainly here at LandryFootball.com, we stay really busy with, as you've heard me talk about before, now that the draft is behind, spending time going back looking at spring practice tape is a big part of what's going on in my world, as well as doing some research on the OTAs and what's happening there, those situations in the NFL. So working on that, and certainly the news and notes that are going on around college and the NFL. And we've got that covered for you at LandryFootball.com. So we want to make sure that you are up to date on everything there. It's also a time to begin the process, the slow process, the arduous process, but the fun process of breaking down these rosters in college and the NFL and getting ready for the football season. We'll have some draft stuff, and we'll continue to have some recruiting stuff as well. A lot of things going on. So it is to have the season, you got to have the off season to prepare for it. So a lot to get to. A few things to get to today, but want to remind you again about our summer savings special at LandryFootball.com. Folks, you get all the summer roster analysis, team previews, daily notebooks, as I mentioned, from the college and NFL scene by joining now. You get 50% off any subscription package by using the coupon code SUMMER. Do it today. You have the football season locked up at our lowest rate ever. Limited time only, so you got to act on it now. Here's the thing. If you're not big into all the stuff leading up to the football season and you just kind of want to start thinking about it in late August, that's fine. That's cool. Do whatever you want. What we're trying to do is get you locked in now, because if you do it now before you get closer to the football season, you're going to get it a lot cheaper. Folks, if you do it now, you get the football season for free if you get a year's subscription. So it'll cost you a little more later if that's what you prefer to do. Hey, listen, we appreciate it. We love you for it. We're just trying to do something for you, get you locked in at a lower rate. Just something we're trying to do to help you. So if you're not yet a member of LandryFootball.com family, please do so as well. We've got some other big news for you, too, in just a little bit. Got a question we want to answer today. Couple of questions, actually. We're going to get to one for certain, and maybe the second one as well. But I want to spend a little time, a couple of other things quickly. We're going to talk a little bit about pass coverage types. We're going to probably wait me until Thursday, break down coverages. We're going to call pass coverage areas. We're going to tell a little bit about what's going on there. So we're going to kind of break this down in segments. If you were with us, we broke down pass route concepts and route trees last week. So we want to get to something different a little bit in each aspect of the X's and O's side of the game each and every week. So we're going to get to that. But I did want to start today with a topic that has kind of taken certainly the sports world by storm yesterday, and it was and bring it from a from an NFL standpoint, but certainly it's going to affect the NFL and college football. And it's the decision by Congress, the Supreme Court ruling in a 7-2 decision that was handed down on Monday. They struck down the 1992 federal ban on sports gambling by Congress. And the statement from the league, I'll read it. Is the NFL's longstanding and unwavering commitment to protecting the integrity of our game remains absolute. We will work closely with our clubs to ensure that any state efforts that move forward in the meantime protect our fans and the integrity of our game. Considering how much was legally and illegally bet on the NFL already, which was over my $4.76 billion on the Super Bowl, according to the American Gaming Association, the league's argument that legalized betting would affect the integrity of the game is really a little comical. Instead of putting up barriers right now, what's happening around the league, what's happening around sports, and this is something that for you that are sports fans in any sport, what's going to happen is there's going to be a concerted effort by all the sports leagues, and it'll be interesting to see how it'll be handled in college, to make sure that they show transparency on injuries, on things, because here's what's really happened in the past. It has been a kind of an underbelly type of industry, illegal, and getting information that was pursuant to gambling, but pursuant to finding out who was healthy, who was practicing, get an edge. It was basically insider trading type for gambling. This is what they're going to try to do, is be more transparent, try to make sure things are on the up and up. I think they're going to have to be systems in place, clearly, to make sure that things are monitored. I think that it's going to have to be, from a federal standpoint, not only regulated, but organized. Listen, where there's money to be made, there are things that are going to change it. And let me say this, and I'm going to step out of line for a second. You know, please excuse me. I know nothing about when you hear the argument, because I get this a lot in the NFL, and I'm going to tie these two together, but marijuana usage should be allowed. Folks, I don't. I'm one of these people that don't like taking Tylenol. I don't like the way I feel when I have had surgery, and obviously they have to give you anesthesia and stuff. It just makes me feel awful. I don't like drugs or the use of it or know anything about it. So I'm speaking in ignorance. I have no idea whether marijuana usage is good in some cases or it's all bad. That's up for people a lot smarter than I to figure that out. But the one thing I do know is that when there's money to be made, there's going to find a way to legalize certain things within reason. Now, gambling, for the longest time, considered bad. Now, I'm not a gambler. Don't like it. It's, again, against my nature because I'm very conservative on a lot of things. So, personally, I just don't like to do that. I know enough about football to know that it's called gambling for a reason. You don't make money by gambling on football. It's luck. It's gambling. Okay. You don't get an edge, as a lot of people think. So I don't get into that. But there's money to be made, and it's regulated. Eventually, they're going to legalize marijuana. They're certainly going to legalize this, and it's going to. Everyone's going to want to be involved into, hey, the money-making process. So it's when you can tax this stuff and make a lot of money, you're going to see a lot of this take place. And so I'm tying it together, not that they're tied together, but to make a point of this is going to be something that is going to have to be regulated. It's going to have to be monitored. But it is something that, quite frankly, needed to be done to begin with. You're going to have more people that bet on it now because it's legal. Some people didn't do it because it wasn't legal. Some people will do it now because it is legal. but you still have a lot of people that did it in the fashion that they did it. And I don't know that it's, you know, quite frankly, other than it's going to be more up and up, more taxable, I think it's probably going to be good for a lot of fans. I don't know if we're going to get to the point, perhaps, where we're going to have an NFL stadiums, kiosks or things that you can gamble on. People, those of you that have maybe traveled overseas and understand that in Europe, gosh, in Ireland and Great Britain, I mean, they gamble on everything. I'm a huge golf fan, and they gamble on everything related to the European Tour, golf, you name it. Everything over here, they gamble on. So it is probably not that it will make not a hill of beans to anything that I do or care about, but I do think that we're going to see more transparency. We're going to see more regulation. We're going to see more organization. And I think that's probably a good thing. What I think we're going to see is the leagues that are going to, by becoming involved in the process of having to organize it, are going to look for a percentage of the money. The NFL is going to want a percentage of all money bet on their league. Same with the NBA, and Major League Baseball, the PGA, the NHL. All of those things I think are coming. I don't know that it is the end of society as we know it, for people that may think that that's not, you don't have to do it. I look at it this way. There's nothing illegal about, you know, having a few beers or having a cocktails, what have you, if that's what you're into. But what is illegal is if you get behind a wheel and you are legally over the legal alcohol limit and you put somebody else in danger, put yourself in danger, people in your car in danger, that becomes illegal. So, again, making sure that people understand that, you know, this is something that should be done with proper, you know, guidance and prudence and organization and help. Look, we have casinos all around, and people have found a way to make sure that they're, you know, legal where you can go and gamble. And, you know, when you have that and you have it, you know, on water and you technicalities to make it legal, you're going to have that in today's world. So to not have it today, and I think the thing that's made this completely fall apart is not only the acceptance, but the embracing of fantasy football, which is gambling, by the NFL, and the multi-billion-dollar business. Folks, again, follow the money, and the money's going to take you to every decision made in society. And so this is where we are. It's don't see any dramatic changes other than, again, it's more above board. How many people tell you about their fantasy league team and what they're doing? And I mean, again, it's all a form of gambling. So the line has been blurred to the point where people say, hey, it's not harming anybody. It's a free, you know, of your free will to do it. Let's organize it. Let's make sure that we're doing it on the up and up. And then, obviously, let's make sure that everybody can get their piece of the pie and for becoming involved in the process and doing their own part. So it is something that was a big day in terms of how they went about rendering that decision. It will take a little time, and we'll obviously stay tuned for all the latest for when it's going to be in effect, which is, I would imagine, going to take a little while, but going to be in pretty soon. Want to get into the continuing with the passing game. We talked about the route tree, and want to kind of flip it around a little bit. We're going to get into the coverages later. We're going to talk about the pass defense areas. If you envision a line of scrimmage, you've got that area 5 yards is kind of the no cover zone, right at the line of scrimmage. Want to talk about the areas that we focus on when we're talking about coverage. You hear terms, the curls, the hook, the flat. And we want to tell you kind of where those areas are located to give you an idea. Because that's really important when you're talking about coverages, particularly zone coverages. You know, you got to know who has the curl, who has the flat. Those are coverage areas that need to be covered. And so we got to make sure that everyone understands from a coaching standpoint what area that they have. So we want to give you that same benefit. So we're going to start from the outside. The outside area in that first 10, 12-yard area, okay, from the boundary to the very outside the numbers, that's called the flat area. Inside that, again, coming closer towards the line of scrimmage, inside the numbers but between the hash, is the curl. In between, closer to the middle there is the hook area in the middle. So we're going to explain it again from the inside out. The middle is right down the middle of the field. The hook areas are just the flanked areas just outside the middle. That'll take you halfway between the middle and right to the hash. Okay, the curls are from the hashes to the numbers, and outside the numbers is the fade areas. So those are the areas that you need to, the flat area. So middle, hook, curl, and flat. You go deeper into the route, you've got the fade area. The flat area extended deeper is the fade area. And so when you break down coverage, you got the middle of the field, you've got the two hook areas routes, which again, just from the middle to the numbers, then you got the curl, and then you've got the fade, which is outside the numbers. So the curl and the hooks kind of intersect. They're close. That's a big area. Everyone has to be covered in that area, obviously. But when you talk about the flat, you talk about the fade, you know now that the flat is the shorter area, the fade is the deeper area. Deeper than that is just simply deep middle, deep outside. And you can break the field down into thirds. If you're in cover three, which is the deep middle, the deep outsides. If you break your coverages down into quarters, again, you're covering the deep route. You're playing in cover four, quarters coverage. You've breaking it down into quarters, correct? So you've got now broken down into four areas deep. Now, make your decision. You may have two deep coverage, cover two. You break the deep field down into halves. Obviously, you start doing the numbers. If you've got two deep coverage, you've got more people underneath covering the middle, the hook, the curl, the flat, the fade, right? Well, again, it depends upon down and distance situation in the game, how you in personnel groupings of the offense, where you anticipate you've got to put more emphasis in coverage. So you may have more coverages, coverage focus underneath. You may have more coverage focus deep. So, again, I want to go over it again. From the line of scrimmage, that little area, that the 2-3 yard area line of scrimmage is a no cover zone that you can come up and cover on just a dump off pass on a screen. You've got to come up from your outside coverage, like in the flat coverage, to defend the screen at the line of scrimmage. But when you're talking about coverages, you've got middle coverage right in the middle of the field. On either side of the middle coverage is the hook coverage. Then on either side of the hook coverage is the curl coverage. On either side of the curl coverage is the flat in the short area that comes up and covers It's the area right near the line of scrimmage, right just past the line of scrimmage, moving up. And then you've got the deep outside area outside the numbers, the fade. And then you've got the deep outside and the deep middle. So very simple. It gives you an idea of how coverage works. If it wasn't clear enough with it, I'll address it later, ask any questions that you might have on it. But as we get into our – I wanted to have a little more time to spend on the different coverages, and we'll get into that next time, cover one, cover two, cover three, and some of the responsibilities there. So we're going to get into that a little bit more. But that gives you some idea of how you want to get a better understanding of when we talk about the curl, we talk about the flat, those are the things that you want to be, pay particularly attention to where that area is. A lot of times they throw that out on TV and they don't sit there and explain it well enough, so we wanted to be able to do so. Again, we're going to spend some time in more depth to explain to you on LandryFootball.com. We'll break down a lot of these coverages a little bit more in depth. It made it a little bit more challenging to do it from an audio standpoint. Sometimes a written standpoint gives you a little bit more of a chance to go back and reread it over and over again. So we'll put some of this stuff up. We're going to put together a little coaching session, Chris Landry on football sessions, that we'll put up on LandryFootball.com, which is another reason why you want to join LandryFootball.com. If you're not yet a member, take advantage of our summer savings, and we'll have all the advantages of that type of information. And we try to do that this time of year where there's not as much to talk about in terms of a game here or there, but it gives you something a little bit each day. I had a question from a couple of good members that wanted me to address, and I've already addressed this, but I want to do this for them. And again, if it's something that I may have addressed already, it's okay. If you maybe didn't hear it, you want me refresh it, what have you, I'll do it. But the question was about my thoughts on Herm Edwards and the hire at Arizona State, and how do I think he'll do and how that'll play out. Now, I've addressed this several times. Again, as you know, members and listeners, regular listeners to this podcast, know that we spend a lot of time during certain times of year, and it's usually that November, December, early January time of year where it is the coaching search world, of which I become involved in the consulting work that I do, and kind of breaking down how that process works, and obviously providing a lot of information on Landry football about where things are headed and where different searches are going. And so when Herm got the job, and I have to admit, like Herm as a person, I think he's a pretty good coach. I don't think he's a great coach. I've known him for a long time. I think people like him a lot. He's a character, was a character on TV. I think people see him as this, and this is part is correct, honorable guy, stand-up guy. I don't think there's as much substance there as people might think, the people that know him. Again, good guy, but in terms of substantive knowledge of football, building of football teams, I don't think that is as strong as people might think. I think that there is a fundamental lack of understanding of the college game from his standpoint. He's never coached a game of college football. He got hired by an athletic director that was an agent, that was his agent, Herm's agent. And so what you're seeing is two people that have no clue about college football basically trying to run a college program, and they're going to reinvent the wheel and do things. And, we'll see how it works. Herm's success in the NFL was aided greatly by a front office that was able to put people in place, a coaching staff that allowed him to be successful. Now, he wasn't all that successful, but the success that he had, I thought he did a pretty good job in the league, an adequate coach with a pretty good staff. Again, that was mainly hired for him. Putting together a staff at Arizona State has been a problem. He was hired mainly because he was going to keep that staff. Most of the staff left. Most of the staff didn't want to be a part of that, didn't really respect the decision that they made, didn't, after spending time with Herm, liked him, felt like this is not going to be a good place for me to be. So most of have left and moved on to other jobs. Some better jobs, some lateral moves, but most just wanted to get out of there. I wish Herm well, like I wish everybody well. I think recruiting, you know, people in the short term, people might say, yeah, I remember seeing him on TV and all that. Folks, that doesn't do anything for you. That maybe is a little cute, and people say, yeah, boy, you see him on TV. That's the whole, like, John Gruden nonsense about, you know, well, this guy's going to be a good recruiter because they see him on TV. It's ridiculous, and it shows how little people know about football, the recruiting process, the scouting process, the evaluating process, the coaching process. You know, Herm, I think, will be a straight shooter. I think he'll tell guys in recruiting, you know, I think he'll be great at, you know, getting him to be stand-up people and try to do things the right way. I think that is great. That's his strength. But putting together a staff, building a good football team, I'm not quite sure how that's going to play out. Could be wrong. Hopefully I'm proven wrong on that, because Arizona State's a great place, a great program. But I don't really look at that hire as something that is overly impressive. I thought it was, you know, it wasn't innovative. I think it was one of those cases where, hey, we're Arizona State, we're going to make a splash. We're going to hire somebody that everybody knows, and we're going to make a splash. Well, making a splash doesn't win for you. What wins is making a good hire. And I thought there were plenty of good coaches that have got good recruiting ability and good developmental ability of building a program and a team that would have been much better at a proven type job like Arizona State. So we'll see how it works. Don't know that it is something that that I'm overly excited about. I want to remind you about a good friend that we've come across. And I don't know about you, but the last time that I tried to buy car insurance, I struggled with a number of things. And if you're like me, when you need car insurance, it's frustrating. When I was looking for car insurance, I couldn't find a solution. Difficulties, archaic process, not being able to talk to an agent when you want to talk to them. How long does it take to shop around to find out the different prices? Buying car insurance is a lot of hassle. And I always ask, does it need to be? Knowing what policy to get, what coverage you need, is a lot of effort. Not knowing whether you have the best price or not and whether to go forward. Well, folks, I've got you covered. Yes, Cover, C-O-V-E-R, is an app designed to make insurance less of a hassle. You can request a quote just by taking a picture on your phone. Even I can do that. The app then searches policies from over 30-plus providers to get you the best rate for your car, your home, your boat, pretty much anything else. It's insurance on the go. You can request a quote via the app on the phone at any time. The app does the comparing for you. Looks for policies that meet your needs from over 30-plus insurance carriers. Rest assured they're finding the best deal that suits you. The app finds the right coverage level, helps you get the level of insurance that best suits your needs. It's fast. Signing up is easy. You get an initial quote in minutes. 2 minutes after completing your details, Cover will text you with an initial quote. Insurance in a snap. You can start a quote just by taking a photo of what you want to insure. It's convenient. Our friendly agents will arrange a time to chat about your policy that suits you best. Save time and money with Cover. Visit cover.com/Landry to get started. That's cover.com/Landry. Make insurance a snap today with your coverage. Okay, want to get into a question that Matt had that sent in. Sent it just before the deadline as I was getting ready to tape this. And, again, if you've got a question for me to address on LandryFootball.com, send it to us. Hit contact Chris, and we'll address it here. And Matt says, in your opinion, how much and to what degree did Bill Parcells influence and impact Bill Belichick? Bill Parcells is a legend, and he is a Hall of Fame coach. He was voted to the Hall of Fame a couple of years ago. How much of Belichick or Bill come from Parcells' guidance and influence, and what is your opinion of Parcells in isolation? How great or not great do you think he is as a head coach, as a quasi-GM? Well, they're different. I know both Bills very well. And Belichick learned a lot of how to manage a team from Bill Parcells. If I could break them down, and I know you said to separate them, but this is important to answer your question, is Belichick is the better X's and O genius. He's the better guy at diagramming a defense, making sure things are covered from that standpoint. Studying an offense, how to take it away. Parcells was better at overall managing of the team until Belichick really started to learn and develop those things from Parcells. And I think Belichick probably is the equal of Parcells today of running an organization, running a team, motivating a team. I think that they're different personality-wise. Belichick is a little bit more studious, a little bit more, can be a little more snarky. Parcells is a little bit more antagonistic. A little bit more of a, he likes to needle you, and he doesn't mind getting needled back a little bit. So I can tell you that Belichick was tremendously influenced by Parcells. It's how he got really in. They joined together on Ray Perkins' staff. And with the Giants and got to know one another. And so you got to remember that as Parcells was the coordinator, the defense coordinator, Belichick worked under him. And then obviously when Ray Perkins left to go back to Alabama, or, you know, Parcells got the head job, and then Belichick moved on and became the coordinator. I think that Belichick was so young and was not as experienced because he didn't coach in college, which Belichick had. He didn't get a lot of worldly experience in football. He kind of grew up around the game under his dad. He was basically started as a coaching intern and worked his way up. Parcells was a little bit more worldly in how to handle people and how to deal with situations. And he did a really good job with that. And I think Belichick learned some of that. And I think it took a while for him to learn it. Even through his Cleveland days, he had to go through some trial and errors. But that is absolutely the biggest impact that he had. I would say this, that it is a true fact. I'm not suggesting anything either way. It's a true fact that Bill Belichick has won Super Bowls without Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells has not won a Super Bowl without Bill Belichick. That is kind of duly noted. It does not mean that Parcells could not have won a Super Bowl without Bill Belichick. It's not suggesting that. But the facts are, this is how it played out. I do think that it was a perfect storm of both, in that Parcells was someone that was a great builder and a great mentor, and had a tremendous impact on Bill Belichick. And I think you could make the case and question how successful Belichick would have been had he not come in contact with Parcells. Even from an opportunity standpoint, it could have had an effect. And I think the opportunities leads to oftentimes your chances of success. There's no doubt Bill Parcells is one of the greatest coaches of all time. In fact, you could have made the case before Bill Belichick went on this recent run of years and years now, you could have made the case that Bill Parcells was as good as any in the history. If you think about it, and here's where the biggest differences in terms of kind of the personalities were. Bill Parcells and Robert Kraft could not get along. Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft get along very well. Parcells was the type that couldn't stay very long in a place. He was a builder, but he'd get antsy, he'd get frustrated. He'd work his way, he would not take care of himself health-wise. Parcells was a heavy smoker. His heart wasn't in great condition, and it contributed to him backing away with the Giants. He flirted with the Falcons, didn't take the job. He flirted with the Buccaneers, didn't take the job. As you know, got back in it, went to New England, went to the Jets. You know, we know the whole story. Went to Dallas. Think about it. Every place he went, took the Giants to championships. He rebuilt. Again, he was the one that started the rebuilding of the Patriots. Okay? He kind of put that plan in place. Not Belichick. It was Parcells. Then he goes to the Jets in a short frame, turns them around and gets them to a conference championship game. Then goes to Dallas. And we know Dallas needed a lot of direction. He got them to the playoffs and didn't stay long enough at the Jets or the Dallas to do it. But Bill was not into the stay for the long term type of guy. That's not what he was, certainly at that stage. Belichick, steady as she goes in New England. He runs everything. He's the guy. He hasn't done it in different places. Now, you can make the case, if you want to, I don't, but you can make the case that Belichick's had Brady. He's been successful in New England, but he's only done it at one place. Parcells has done it. He's won it every place he's been. That's a sign of a great coach. That's a sign of greatness. Every place he goes, he wins. No one is better at taking over a bad program, a bad organization, and turning it into a winner than Parcells. He changes the culture better, and he does things better than anybody else has done. He will go in, he'll fix your special teams, he'll bring in certain guys who get you to turn around and win immediately. Then it's, is he going to stay long enough to see it through and build championships? Well, no, he's only done that with the Giants. He hasn't stayed around long enough. So there's differences. There's definitely personality differences quite a bit. But I think that there's no doubt Bill Parcells is in the Hall of Fame already. He already has his gold jacket. And we know that Bill Belichick is, I think, only in the company of Vince Lombardi as the greatest coach of all time. So we'll see how this plays out in terms of how long Bill Belichick is going to coach, but you know that he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, best of all time. So hopefully that answers your question there. All right, you're going to end up the show with the rest of the story. Story time, as I like to call it. Give you some different stories, some funny, some interesting. Hope you'll like them. Over the years that I've collected through firsthand experience or from experiences that have been told to me by other people that experienced them. So secondhand. This was relayed to me by Al Davis, the late Al Davis, and it involves former Raider defensive lineman Otis Sistrom, who never played college football, by the way. He was in the Marines, and when they used to, for you older members that used to remember when they had the announcements of the lineups on Monday Night Football in a lot of games, the player would come in and say, "Hi, I'm, you know, Chris Landry, you know, from LSU," what have you. you'd give your school. They still see some of them do that today. They announce a headshot. Otis Sistrunk once came on and said, Otis Sistrunk, University of Mars. He was quite the character. And the Raiders this one time were traveling home on a team charter after a road game, and he was confronted by the flight attendant who informed him that he would have to fasten his seatbelt. To which Sistrunk replied, "Hey, Superman don't need no seatbelt." To which the flight attendant countered with, "Superman don't need no airplane. You, however, need to fasten your seatbelt." Said Otis Sistrunk was so embarrassed, he put his seatbelt on and was quiet for the rest of the flight, which was a shock in and of itself. The Raiders team flights, some of the great stories of all time, as they were just win, baby. We don't care what you do off the field. Just get it done. Some big-time stories there of a lot of goings-on. But anyway, a little cute story there. Listen, hey, we'll rejoin you back on Thursday's edition of the Landry Football Podcast. Remind you, if you've got any questions, anything you want me to address, send them to me and I'll get it done. So appreciate you joining us. We'll get to some coverages, some other stuff going on around the college and NFL scene on the Thursday edition of the Landry Football Podcast on LandryFootball.com.
To get more of Chris's knowledge, visit and subscribe to LandryFootball.com. You can also find him on Twitter at LandryFootball. This has been Landry Football on Radio Influence. This is an In the Trenches with Ian Beckles. Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
If you're a quarterback and you don't get it, everybody's going to watch. Everybody sees it, and you have to have some thick skin. And that's what a lot of these quarterbacks in a lot of different situations are going to be put in their lap. You're going to have some of these young quarterbacks who are drafted by, you know, bad football teams. You're going to lose. That's just the way it goes. And are you going to be able to endure all the criticism and getting mocked on ESPN and all those? Are you tough enough to endure all that stuff? Not everybody is. You remember the name Ryan Leaf? You know, Ryan Leaf came in with Peyton Manning, Hall of Famer Peyton Manning. Not quite Hall of Famer Ryan Leaf, obviously, but their mentalities were just different. Like Ryan Leaf, after got drafted, went to Las Vegas with all his boys and partied it up. Peyton Manning, they said the first day, faxed them and he wanted the playbook. I mean, that's a big difference. And the results of their career, you know, speak for themselves.
In the Trenches with Ian Beckles can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.